Hey everyone, we're back for part two of our chat with Mark Spencer from the Climactic podcast show. If you missed part one of our chat with Mark, we suggest that you stop right here and go back and just search for our last episode that we released. It kind of will give you a bit of context about sort of our flow on chat that goes into this episode. So off you go. Otherwise, stay on if you have listened to it. In this episode, we talk about our visions for the future and the power that podcasts like Climactic and Sustainable You have in building relationships, reaching out to others and sharing their stories, and ultimately creating community.
We're excited about the future and are grateful for the friendship that we now have with Mark. After listening, you can connect with Mark through Instagram and Facebook by searching Climactic Show. And if you haven't already, subscribe to Climactic wherever you get your podcasts. If you guys enjoy listening to our show, we would also love you to give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. But for now, here's part two of our chat with Mark Spencer.
Personally, I want to thank you for creating Climactic, because when I was listening to a couple of years ago and I found Climactic, that was the only podcast I could find that kind of, I guess, inspired me to kind of go, yeah, like I can, you know, I've got a story to tell too. And that's what we were sort of saying, is that we want people who, you know, we want to encourage at people who have a story to tell, is to, yeah, like, I mean, they could use your platform for one if they don't want to sort of do it themselves. But one thing I never thought that we would be creating a fortnightly podcast, and we would have topics to talk about and people asking more and more questions. Can you look into that for us? And things that we kind of pop up as we go along. But even just to make it really simple for people, we were both like, you know, when we were sort of saying, you know, what sustainability podcasts do you listen to? And both of us were sort of saying, well, I found Climactic.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't really anything else. They were all like overseas. I was a bit confused when I did start listening to yours, because I was like, oh no, this must be an American one.
Yeah. No, the accent has been a double-edged sword, I think. Fair.
But yeah, on a personal note, I mean, I was really grateful that there was something like that for us to start sort of listening to, and also figuring out that maybe there are some gaps that we could, like Lisa and I could look at sort of filling for people that don't even know where to start. Just like the simplicity of how to sort your bins, you know, like that's, and we still go back over that with people all the time.
Yeah.
Listen to episode one and two if you don't know that one.
You've personally helped a good friend of mine who's one of the most sustainable people I know, you know, great with backyard composting and doing a great job growing their own food in a, you know, not much bigger than your backyard here. But they didn't know that coffee cups weren't recyclable until they listened to your show. They're like, yeah, they were horrified. And they're like, okay, well, you know, it was only occasionally when I forgot my keep cup, but now I just like, you know, no cup, no coffee. I'm like, yeah, that's right. How much does it bug you to still see disposables in 2020? I want to slap them out of people's hands.
Yeah. People walking around with trays.
Did you not see war on waste?
Trays of them. Like, going to the office, 5-6 coffees in a tray. Like,
I don't want to get the mug from 3 meters away.
Yeah. You don't have to have a fancy keep cup or anything like that. You know, like, look at the variety of ones that I've got. I just grabbed
that's
anything
awesome.
From when we went and got coffee earlier. Like,
I'm learning what Stramit is. Consider it done. Celebrating 30 years. Well, good on you, Stramit.
Well, you don't want to talk about Stramit, because they're steel manufacturers.
Look, you know, we need steel in the future. If they could, you know, get onto some hydrogen powered steel smelting, that would be great. Stramit, we're calling you out.
Actually, that is a nice segue into my next question, which is, what is your vision for the future? Like, what would you love to see happen? You know, talk to us about what it looks like for you.
The future is going to arrive no matter what, and it's always closer than we think. And I really like that. If you haven't seen the film 2040 yet, go watch that. I'll quickly pitch something topical that by the time this comes out, it won't be on anymore, but that's fine. Transitions Film Festival's on in Melbourne, which is a really cool film festival that looks at the future, but they find positive films. The director of this festival has become a friend of mine, and he told me that it's getting harder every year to find positive films about the future, because that's just not the vibe. It's also not where the facts are pointing, which is scary. But all of which to say, I genuinely think it's hard to get to a positive future if we can't see it first. Like, I don't think at the end of World War II, everyone had this unified vision of, you know, kind of what the liberal world order would look like, what what the World Bank would do, how the Green Revolution would allow us to grow enough food to feed 7 billion and counting people. It just happened. But there was some visionaries, you know, George Marshall, the Marshall Plan. I know just enough history to be dangerous, to think I know things.
Which is a lot more than me.
I genuinely think the future is, what I think is going to happen, what I see is a change, is a real, real fundamental societal change. And that can either be planned or it can be an uncontrolled change. I know enough about what it was like to live as a Roman citizen that, like, it doesn't feel like the people that lived like that were a different species. I understand how that could have been me and what that life was like. And I don't think it's impossible that we could have living standards like that, literally like that, again, within my children's lifetime, which sounds ridiculous, but it's also like, look, the Romans had seasonal food supplies. They would occasionally suffer food shortages. They had technology sorted out to do sanitation, and they had good supplies of running water. That's not bad. We're struggling to keep water in the mains of several Australian towns right now, which is just, it's really crazy to actually take a step back and be like, how much of the society we live in is due to momentum rather than because of real facts on the ground anymore. So I can definitely open Pandora's box occasionally with my friends and talk about how I see a dystopian apocalyptic society not far down the road. But sometimes, most of the time, I'm not necessarily more positive than that, but I'm less engaged with it because it's going to happen no matter what. And I can only do so much. So I try to enjoy what we have because, oh my God, Australia's quality of life is, it doesn't make sense. It shouldn't exist on this continent because we live in a way that isn't compatible with the continent. And to live like this, we're eating it and changing it and breaking it. But for right now, it's really nice. And, you know, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years of this, I'm going to try to do less damage. But yeah, I'm going to live within it because it's way more enjoyable than going full off-grid. And you don't change anything by doing that. If you leave society, you may as well leave the planet. That's dark. But the only meaning, I think, and purpose we have in our lives is the effect we have on other people. And you can't do that in isolation. So the vision I have for the future is one where we get much better about talking to each other, about breaking down social barriers. I have a lot of issues, and I don't agree a lot with a lot of young people who are turning to socialism. But one thing I think they have absolutely right is that there's a lot less normal, everyday, common people. The people you see on the street, even if they're driving a Mercedes or a beat-up Daihatsu, the amount you have in common is a lot higher than you think. And that we really are in somewhat of a class struggle. I disagree with their solutions to it, but to some extent that framing helps because it's not everyday people who are breaking things. And well, and if we are, it's not by choice. It's because of a system we live in. Long answers for I don't know what the future's going to look like, but I have thoughts about it and I like talking to people about it. So if that helps.
And what about the future for the climactic show?
When I'm feeling especially ambitious, I say we're rebuilding the ABC from a grassroots level. I really want to see hubs and bureaus in capital cities, but also in regional cities. I want to see, you know, we're recording right now into this odd bod assortment of microphones and cables that I've assembled at very low expense over 18 months of fossicking around. And it's available to anyone who wants to use it. And I want to see that same ethos that we're doing with repair cafes and transition streets and permablitzes, I want to see that applied to the media as well, because the media is not just, it's not funny how bad it is. It's destructive how bad it is. And it's really doing damage how You can spend hours watching the news and know nothing.
Yeah.
You can actually know incorrect things, and you can relate to your fellow people aggressively, fueled by misinformation by bad actors. And that's not the journalists, that's not the anchors, it's the owners of those stations. So Climactic, in any small way, if it can be a panacea to that, that would be cool.
Oh, absolutely it would. Yeah. Like that is where I see it too. It's all that grassroots movement and the people taking ownership of what's going on and going, you know, I don't accept this anymore. Mm. Like, this is the way that we've been told how to live and how to operate in society. And these are the things that we've been told to watch and listen to and absorb and act on. Mm-hmm. And no, I don't accept that anymore. And I'm going to go and find out the information that I want to find out. And I'm going to educate myself better. And then I'm going to share that mm-hmm. with everybody that I know so that they can all come along together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. Making your time available to other people so that they don't have to do as much. Because there's so much about our daily lives that need to change. But just about how much we can change, everyone's time poor, everyone's literally poor.
Yeah.
So you get something back for doing a show. Like, I get so much back from doing Climactic because I get to have conversations with people that I wouldn't otherwise have. And when else do you sit down at a kitchen table and have a talk like this for an hour if without the pretense of a microphone in front of you?
Yeah.
Mm.
So I get so much from it. But I know in turn people are getting the results of tens of hours of research and hundreds of hours of networking and building relationships.
Yeah.
And what you get is honest, candid relation to people that you can listen to on the bus, which is really cool.
We get a lot of people that listen to us on the bus. Nice. And they commute in.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, that's what I listen to podcasts is like, yeah, public transport's the best.
Yeah.
And when you laugh out loud on the train, you look up and you realize, okay, everyone's looking at me.
But it's not an unpleasant sound to hear. There's a lot worse to hear on PT.
Yeah, for sure.
That's right.
They're enjoying themselves. Okay. Good on them.
What are they listening to?
The next time that happens, you guys just hold up your phone with the cover art for whatever you're listening to and just show the train.
Oh, yeah.
Or the bus.
Yeah, good idea. Like, except for when it's my dad wrote a porno. Yeah. I don't know if that's... Even though you two are divas and I'm not.
Proudly.
I think that we are all changing the landscape slightly. And I think that that's really cool. Mm. I think it's Steve Jobs. I found this quote and he says, "The ones who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do."
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because I think like it takes a certain person to just kind of take the plunge and follow their ideas. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hear a lot of naysayers and you're going to have a lot of self-doubt too along the way. But I think that if you just keep going, put your head down and keep moving forward, then we're going to one day see the change that we saw in our minds.
Mm.
Quickly, very, very quickly drop in, just because I've got the perfect thing to couple on to a Steve Jobs quote, is another quote I read from him last week, circa 2006, when they're working like crazy on the first iPhone. And he said, "If you think you're taking a Christmas holiday, you're bloody joking." So he was also a bit of a...
Lovely.
Yeah.
Bit of a hard ass.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. For sure. But that's the kind of ethos that got shit done, really.
Absolutely.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like sometimes you've just got to put your head down and keep going.
So what's your one tip for, I guess, the Sustainable You community around how to be more sustainable?
Mm-hmm.
This could be a personal sort of tip or a professional, I guess. We'd love for you to share that with our community.
The one bit of advice that I would like to impart on everyone listening is, and this is more powerful than any of the things I've done in my life, any of the things I've learned, any of the things I'm doing that are more sustainable. And it's a total cop-out, but it's true. And it's listen to the experts around you. Like, listen to your smartest friend who's done the research. Find that person in your community who is your, you know, sustainable expert. There's a lot of people out there. It takes tens of hours to understand every council's rubbish system. Mm-hmm. And then I live in an apartment building, so my city council rubbish rules do not apply to me. We have a separate waste contractor. It's complicated when you're concerned about climate change. Waste is something that you absolutely need to care about because it is not only personally important and what you do at a small scale matters on a macro scale, but it also is hugely important as, sorry to say these words, but as value signaling, virtue signaling. You need to show to people that you're walking the walk. If you're going to ask them to do anything, you know, charges of hypocrisy are powerful because there's a seed of truth to it. Personal actions are not going to save the planet. But by not caring about your personal actions, you are directly harming the planet. So it's not a yes or no thing. It's not a, you know, is waste important? Yes. Is waste a solution to the climate change crisis? No. So do your best, and you do your best with your limited time and abilities by benefiting from the people around you who know more than you do. And there always is. There's always a bigger fish. Listen to Sustainable You. Take it on board. And if you start acting on something you've heard on your program, and then, but it's different in your area, send you guys an email, but also tell your friends, listen to this episode, but also here's this addendum. Everyone should, like, every city council has a blog and has information about this. Just, like, take a look at it. Print, they've all got fact sheets. Do I have them on my wall? No, I don't. But I know this is a good idea. my bin cupboard should be so much better organized than it is. And it becomes a chore to do the right thing. So there's one poignant bit of advice to pull out from all of that is make it easy on yourself to do the right thing. Make it as easy as possible to do the right things. Convenience has led us to do some terrible things, but convenience is the only way to get people to do things at scale. Put your shopping bags in your car. Put a note on your steering wheel of, like, do you have your bags? These are bits of advice I've heard from sustainability folks I've talked to, from, you know, waste advisors. I know there's going to be a term for it, but it makes a lot more sense, I think, than having a yogi for most people in their life is have someone who you listen to about waste, who knows more than you do. Surprise, surprise, my advice comes down to communication and media, but consume good media and act on it.
One of the things I was just thinking about, like the waste aspect of things, like I'm going away this weekend and we're on the first podcast back, we talked about how when I was away staying in a house with 10 people and I realized how much waste just goes out to landfill without thinking about it, you know, how I was just like, oh, I wish that I'd really thought it through, that there was no compost bin. And obviously, you know, like people are always so surprised that I don't put a bin out to landfill. And, you know, maybe once every couple of months I might put it out. So I've actually contacted someone through Share Waste and asked them, they said they could collect waste for their chickens. And then she ended up sort of saying, like, we're actually going away with about 60 people and we often have barbecues and all that sort of stuff. So I know that the bins just get overflow, like they just overflow from just food scraps and all that sort of stuff. So, and I can't really, it's like 40 degrees up in Wangaratta, so I can't really bring it back down for my chickens, even though I do freeze stuff, you know, if I have excess from neighbours and stuff here. So I'm actually thinking about how we're going to set the waste up for that for this weekend, and I'm going to go and I'm going to walk the talk, you know, and actually say any food scraps going here except for meat. Basically, that's as simple as it gets. And just to think about that impact that I could have on 60 people, I was even a little bit excited this morning. I was thinking like, oh, there's kids there, you know, like there's 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds. Oh,
get them on board.
Like totally. Young minds. Yeah, like, you know, totally. Like to get, and I know that like some of them are really passionate about the environment and to show them. And then like, I'm like that impact, they can then take that system back home and, you know, find someone via ShareWaste maybe that they could, if they don't have a compost bin themselves, that they can donate. So we're at the girl that I originally contacted via ShareWaste, has lost a few of her chickens and she only has two. And she said, I don't think we'll be able to accommodate for all that food. I mean, I'm just anticipating, you know, putting out the good vibes. We're going to just get so much food. So she's got put me in touch with the person that has 15 chickens.
Epic.
So I'm, you know, I'm excited. Just every morning I'm just going to get up and I'm going to drop off the stuff that we've, you know, collected and then just and maybe take a couple of kids with me mm-hmm. to go and check out 15 chickens. Oh, my God, I'm so
excited.
You're
going to be given eggs in return, I guarantee it.
Yeah, it's maybe, yeah.
Maybe it tastes better than any eggs those kids yes. have ever eaten.
Yeah, so just that, you know, that stuff of learning the lessons, and it's taken me a long time to get to this point, mm-hmm. but I'm still going to keep on trying to sort of master it of mm-hmm. when I'm away. Of how I can do it better. I can't remember where that
I love that about you though, is that like you learn from your experience and then you immediately implement what you've learned into your next experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's you all over. That's how you keep growing and that's how you keep finding more things to share with everybody because mm-hmm. you're just like, oh, I found another thing because I did this and then
you're
I did this.
Just taking another step forward.
Yeah.
Each and every time just keep walking down that path.
Yeah, I just keep chipping away. Like, and that's the advice that, like, exactly what you're saying. Just keep chipping away at it. Mm-hmm. And, for example, like your friend that you just mentioned before, that mm-hmm. is very sustainable,
mm-hmm.
didn't realize that the cups that, mm-hmm. you know, cups that disposable that plastic cups liners, aren't
yeah.
recyclable. Even yep. though they say recyclable, they're actually not.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, like just those little things there's another switch that they have. And, like, the other thing that I was thinking about when you were talking about that was my girlfriends, we always meet for a Friday morning. We kind of had a ritual of meeting for a Friday morning coffee. And they used to get their coffees in a takeaway cup, even though we're sitting down. And so I would always get mine in a cup to sit down, like, you know, a proper
glass ceramic.
Like ceramic, that's and then over time, they've got theirs in a mug or mm-hmm. a cup and they've ditched the, you know, the disposable stuff. And that's just happened without me saying anything, but just kind of, maybe I said a few things, but me kind of saying, well, you're sitting in, why are you having it as a disposable? Or are you not staying? Like, you know, subtle, very subtle.
That's a good tip, that one. It doesn't have to be a strong word, doesn't it? It can be just like, no, that here's the behavior we want and here's how it's assumed to be normal. It's like just shifting that assumption of the default, like, takeaway cups are when you have no other option and you're about to sprint to get the train, not when you have 10 minutes to sit down, enjoy mm-hmm. a coffee
yeah.
and relax.
So we just want to personally thank you, Mark, for coming here and for sitting with us and bringing all of your very technical kind of gear. It's much more advanced than ours, one little mic that we normally record off.
Yeah.
And for sharing your story with us. I mean, it's just, we love your story and we love that we can share that with our community as well. And we look forward to maybe many more collaborations and it's so great to have another, to actually connect. We were too afraid to connect with you, but you connected with us, which is so, you know, so awesome.
Yeah.
We literally, when you messaged, I sent Lisa a personal message and said, holy cow. Like, I think you were away or something.
I was away on a girl's trip.
Like, you know, I'm just like, Mark Spencer's just messaged us. You know, like it was just like this sort of like, you know, celebrity status.
Wow. That's bizarre. I,
it's funny, isn't it?
Like, I hear the words, but I don't connect that to any kind of reality of like, but like, okay, I can imagine that if like Ellen DeGeneres sent you a message.
Very or, close.
What?
I mean, that would be awesome. I mean, Ellen, yeah, if you're out there, we're ready and we're available.
Waiting. Yeah,
we're
listening.
We'll squeal.
But we really appreciate everything you bring to the sustainable climate change kind of environment as well, the podcasting sort of environment, and keep on telling your stories and keep on spreading the love and the good and the bad news.
So as always, we hope that you've enjoyed listening to us chatting with Mark, and we look forward to releasing another episode in a fortnight in which we would aim to help you to become
a more sustainable you.
Woo!
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at sustainableyoupod on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or you can email us at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created and produced by Lisa and Jackie.